invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 5 this evening. So do please turn to the book of Acts and chapter 5. So this morning we were looking in the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts is written by the same man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is the book of Acts. And we read in chapter 5, beginning in verse 17 this evening. It says, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officials came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, 'We have found the prison securely locked, and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, 'We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us.' But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theodosius rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God.' So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name." And this evening, for the rest of our time, I really want to focus in on verse 42. So let's see this together. It says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." If I were to say the words to you, "Keep calm," what would be the next three words? And carry on. You're right. Keep calm and carry on. And so where does that actually come from? I had a look at that this week, and turns out the poster is from back in World War II, but it was discovered at a used bookshop. The used bookstore, the owners found this poster, and they I guess they framed it, and they stuck it up by the till. And people started being really interested in this poster and wanting copies of it. So they started making copies and selling it. This was just back in 2000, back in the year 2000. And before the year 2000, if I would have said to you, if it was like 1999, I would say, what comes to mind when I say keep calm? What would you say? There wouldn't have been that same kind of response. So it's been a recent phenomenon that's happened for this poster back in World War II. And there's been lots of variations of it, hasn't there? I don't know if you probably have a mug at your house with keep calm and carry on or something like this. You keep calm and eat chocolate. That's our one at home. Or if you're a Star Wars fan, you might have calm you shall keep and carry on you must. I won't do the Yoda voice, but you can just imagine. Or perhaps you're more cynical. Are you the more cynical type? And you say something like, keep calm and wait for this irritating fad to pass. I think we've probably come to that phase now. I think we've seen enough of this keep calm and carry on poster. But this poster has been, it's been associated now. It's not just known here in Britain, it's known around the world now. It's a way that folk here are stereotyped, you know, when you think, well, what is British culture? Well, let's keep calm and carry on. It's that kind of stiff upper lip, British, you know, kind of stoicism, just press on through no matter what you face. But back in World War II, what was the intent? It was the poster was put out to raise the morale of the British people. Like, okay, we're under serious threat here, and so just before things got very, very serious, they put these posters up all over the place. And so, what are we going to do? Don't give way to a frenzy. Don't panic. Keep calm in this situation and carry on with everyday life. We're going to get through this. That was to raise the morale across the country in a time of uncertainty. So why do I share that with you? I guess it's this: we are going through a time of transition as a church, aren't we? And there are certain things that are uncertain in this time. We've already said even this evening, we don't know who the next pastor is going to be. So what should we do? Well, I don't think keep calm and carry on is exactly the banner we should put over the front door of the church. But I do think it in some ways points to the message we need to be thinking about at the moment, at this season. What we do need to do is keep on trusting in God. And certainly we need to carry on serving Him. This is not a time to stall. It's a time to keep moving forward by the grace of God. At the same time, talking about uncertainty and transition and that kind of thing, I don't want to overstate the situation that we are in as a church. Much remains the same. We always have much to be encouraged by. So a few examples of things that remain the same. The Lord remains the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the head of this church. He is. And He is the one who's going to lead us forward and see us through in the days ahead. I could also say as well, here's something else that remains the same. He has given leaders to this church. I am stepping down as pastor, but I am grateful to God for the fact that God has given us three faithful pastors as a church who are continuing in their post. So whatever language we use or we prefer using, we have elders here in this church who, biblically speaking, are the pastors of this church. And so I want to call all of us, myself included, to follow their leadership as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep calm, carry on. We've got some leaders who God's put in place and that you've voted in as well, by the way. We've voted these people in as pastors in this church. Of course, their aim, Ephesians 4, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so let's not be the church who, we don't have a minister at the moment. Well, we don't have a minister at the, don't let that be the main thing. We've got lots of ministers in this church. We're as saints being equipped for the work of the ministry. It's something for all of us to be serving the Lord, ministering to Him, building up one another. So let's carry on in the work of the ministry that He has called us to do. There's something that's said of the apostles here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42 that I just want to draw your attention to. These words here, perhaps you want to underline them, certainly in your mind, when it says, they did not cease. They carried on together in their work for the Lord. This evening, I'm not going to share anything new with you. But I am going to say this, keep on keeping on. Carry on in what God has given you to do. Let's all do that together for His glory. Carry on. Do not cease. If that's what you desire for your life and for this church, I think there's some things for us to learn from the Lord's apostles here in Acts chapter 5 and what they carry on doing. So what should we carry on doing? Well, number one, carry on proclaiming the gospel. Keep on proclaiming the gospel. You know, sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking that carrying on as a church is enough in itself. We tell ourselves that God, well, you know, God calls us to be faithful. He just wants us to be faithful without actually addressing specifically what it is that He is calling us to be faithful to. We can be completely ineffective in what He's calling us to if we're faithful doing the wrong things. We're called to be faithful in what He calls us to do, and certainly He's called us to be faithful to Him in proclaiming the gospel message. The text doesn't say that they, you know, every day, you know, that they, or every Sunday, for example, they went to Jerusalem Evangelical Free Church and they reminded themselves about just how bad things were getting and comforted themselves with the thought of just carrying on. No, it says that every single day in the temple, yes, but also house to house, they do not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ. They carried on making much of Jesus, both in evangelistic proclamation. By the way, this is how the Apostle Paul describes his missional ministry. Every day and from house to house, Acts chapter 20, he says, you saw me every day in house to house proclaiming Jesus, right? So this is, yes, proclaiming to one another, but this is also proclaiming to the lost as well. So these apostles were faithful to the message of the gospel. Let's stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see in verses 30 to 32, how they are proclaiming the gospel and what that entailed, is just as we saw this morning, speaking about how God raised up Jesus from the dead after His death on the cross, and He's exalted Him as leader and Savior, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is found in Him, and it's the Holy Spirit is given to believers to confirm this faith in their hearts, trusting in Jesus. So let's treasure the gospel and make this known to one another, but also in the public square as well. Wouldn't it be wonderful if what's said in verse 28 could be said of Odeby? We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet you have, see these words, you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching. They carried on proclaiming the gospel in such a way that no matter where you went in Jerusalem, that message was being taught, it was being spoken of by somebody. They filled Jerusalem. May we fill Odeby and Leicester with the gospel. But through how we live, yes, but through what we say. Verse 29, by the way, they see this as a matter of obedience. Why are you filling Jerusalem with this teaching? It's because we must obey God rather than man. It's a matter of obedience. God has called us to carry on proclaiming the gospel. Will we do that? I pray so. But what do we do when difficulties arise, though? Well, yeah, but here's the difficulty we face in that way. We're not quite sure how to reach that group. We're not quite sure what to do with this. Well, here's the second thing to carry on with. Carry on in spite of the difficulties. Carry on proclaiming the gospel, but carry on in spite of the difficulties. You know, many wonderful things are happening in these early stages of the book of Acts. The church is witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit. Literally, thousands of people are coming to faith, but at the same time, it is not all smooth sailing. While the church is experiencing great blessing, it is simultaneously experiencing great hardship. And that's the life that we're being called to participate in as the church. You know, somebody once wisely said, based on what they saw in the scriptures, that the door of opportunity always swings on the hinges of opposition. So it's like, well, we want the opportunity, we want the blessing, but we don't want the resistance, we don't want the difficulty. But those two come hand in hand, certainly in God's Word. You see this in other places too. Perhaps, I don't know if you ever came across that advertisement. It said this is early 20th century in a newspaper in London. It said, men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful. Does that interest any of you? Who was that written by? It was written by Sir Ernest Shackleton. Yeah, the South Pole Explorer. Right, yeah, if you want to go and explore the South Pole, come on. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be up front. There are going to be a lot of difficulties on the way if we're going to carry on with this. Well, what Acts chapter 5 does in the midst of all the blessing is it brings the hazards of the journey right to the forefront and says, yes, there's all this blessing, but look at what is also happening at the same time. We didn't read this, but you go to verses 1 to 11, you see that there were internal problems within the life of the church. Carry on in spite of the difficulties internally in the church. You've got Ananias and Sapphira, don't you? What was happening? They weren't being entirely honest in their dealings with the church. People had been giving sacrificially to the work of the Lord, even selling their possessions. Ananias and Sapphira do the same thing, but just between themselves. They went and presented it, but they kept a bit back for themselves and presented it as though they had given their all. So there was hypocrisy there in the life of the church, and God exposed their sin. He brought it to the forefront. And very dramatically, what happens? They, one by one, they end up dropping dead on the scene. We might look at it and think, well, that's a bit extreme. I mean, after all, they were giving a lot. The church wasn't missing anything by them keeping it back a little bit for themselves, and I can see why they might want to do that. But surely it points us to the seriousness of personal sin in the life of the body of Christ in church. That's a difficulty that we face along the way. Sin, as we even spoke of this morning, sin always poses a danger, a threat, and we can't get used to that. And hypocrisy in particular is so deadly. And that internal problem within the life of the church no doubt shook a lot of people that were there. But they carried on in the work of the Lord. In fact, in verses 12 to 16 of the chapter, what do you see happening? After that, after the internal problems, you then see explosion of blessing. In fact, in verse 14, it says that people are coming to faith now more than ever. So yeah, they had to deal with that internal issue, but also there's a blessing on the other side of the door. More people coming to faith than ever. And then you get to verses 17 to 42 that we actually read, and you see not only the internal problems that they have to carry on in the midst of, but also the external pressures as well. We read about the religious authority arresting the apostles, all the leaders that they have, and they put them in prison. But then God helps them to carry on by delivering them from prison by this angel. And they carry on with the work. It says that the very next morning they're found out actually preaching and teaching once again. In spite of the difficulty, they're right back at it the next day. They're brought before the council in questioning. The council's furious. They want to kill them, but instead they beat them. By the way, that was more than likely the lashings that the Apostle Paul speaks about, you know, that he received, you know, it would be given on your bare back as well as your chest, you know, 39 lashes. And so this is, it just talks about the beating, but this is a severe beating that would have been the consequence for the sort of thing that they had done. So after all of that, what did they do after all that difficulty that they faced? What did they do? Verses 41 and 42, they carry on teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ. They keep rejoicing in Him. Martin Luther King Jr. said that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. You know, these men here faced internal problems and external pressures and even physical pain. But that doesn't stop them from carrying on in the work of the Lord with fresh wounds in their bodies, with that kind of tenacity, boldness in the service of the Lord. They carry on preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Christ. Carried on in the difficulties. It's like what Paul said in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. You know, these are apostles as they're going around house to house. Imagine the example they're setting for these believers. It's just like Paul, you know, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, he had just been stoned and left for dead. That's how bad it was. They thought he was dead. And then he gets up and he goes back. And what does he do? You know, if anybody's going to have a week off, my goodness, the Apostle Paul should surely, they thought you were dead. It's that bad.
But now he gets up, he carries on, he goes back, you know, preaching the gospel and strengthening disciples. And then right away, with bruises no doubt all over his face, swollen here, there, and everywhere. You could just imagine, you know, teeth knocked out. I mean, he was stoned. He says, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, to the church there. It says that he went strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue, to carry on in the faith, saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Imagine somebody with, you know, blood on their face saying, if you don't believe me, it's through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Carry on, continue, he says. Will there be difficult days for us as a church in the days ahead? Can I say you can count on it? You can count on it, especially if we're going to know the Lord's blessing, especially if we're faithfully proclaiming the gospel. But what we have in Jesus is far greater than anything we might lose in this world. He's worth it. So carry on proclaiming the gospel. Carry on in spite of the difficulties. Number three, carry on by the power of God. Carry on by the power of God. At the start of the book of Acts, it talks about how this, Luke makes reference to Theophilus, the one that Acts is written to, about what he had written before in the book of Luke. He said that was about what Jesus began both to do and teach. So by implication, what is the book of Acts about? It's about what Jesus continues to do, and he continues to teach. So it's the work of the Lord carrying on through his church. It's exactly what Jesus says expressly in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that they will be witnesses, they will carry on proclaiming the gospel when the Holy Spirit has come upon them. That's when they will witness in power, his power. And so when you get to chapter 5, that's what you see happening. They couldn't take credit for freeing themselves from prison. It was clear the angel of the Lord did that. The power of God was at work. You see that as well, ironically, in what Gamaliel says, don't you? So he was talking about, remember in the reading, about other movements that came and went. Remember that guy, he rose up and then it all came to nothing. Then there was the other guy, he rose up and all that came to nothing. Just leave them alone. It's probably just going to be one of those other flashes in the pan that comes to nothing. But if it's a work of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, he says. Verse 39, you might even be found opposing God. So if this carries on, you'll know that it's carrying on through the work of God. It's carrying on by the power of God. So how are we going to continue? By the power of God. No one was able to overthrow it. And it continues on to this day. And it's why we're here this evening. If we're going to carry on as we ought to, it will be by the power of God. The message isn't, you know, pick up yourself by the bootstraps or keep a stiff upper lip, whatever happens, you know, keep calm and carry on. It's a call to step out by faith, trusting that God is able to see us through. It's a theme in Scripture, isn't it? Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Psalm 126, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Jude 24 says that God is the one who keeps us from stumbling, from falling. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says that it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the fact is that God is the one who is able to open every door that he wants us to walk through, and he's the one who's going to give us the ability to walk through it and bring us on to the other side. So, as William Carey once said, expect great things from God, and on that basis, attempt great things for God. One last thing, I promise. Carry on with joy. Yes, proclaim the gospel. You know, make much of Jesus. It's going to be difficult. Carry on by the power of God, but carry on with joy. After they're beaten, told never to preach again in Jesus' name, says, ironically, Acts 5, verse 41, it's amazing. They left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They carried on in the joy of the Lord. Who could blame them if they came back angry or if they came back scared, but they came back rejoicing. It's not what you'd expect. They counted it an honor to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. They saw it as suffering together with Him, and they rejoiced in that. You know, we can rejoice in suffering, even as the apostles did. Paul commended one of the church for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "You became imitators of us." Right? Those people going out, taking the gospel, suffering for it. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." So you want to carry on as the Lord does? Do we want to carry on as these apostles are here? It will be carrying on, if this is the work of the Lord, with joy in the midst of difficulties. And that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you see God truly at work. That's the miracle of this. It's not merely that we carry on in the work of the Lord, but that we smile while we do it. That we actually enjoy serving Him even when things get difficult. That's the miracle, that we do so gladly, as we're commanded to. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. You know, studies show that laughter is good for your health. You know, it's an essential part of a healthy life. You know, it's characteristic, apparently, it's characteristic of people who live longer across the board, that there are people who laugh more. I don't know how they study that, but apparently that's the case. I don't know all about that, but I do know that that's part of a healthy church. So join me. Let's join together in praying that we would be full of joy in the coming days, whatever comes our way. You know, some of us have more of a bent that when things feel right, we're engaged in the work of the Lord and we really go for it then when the joy is there. But when the joy, when the thrill is gone, as B.B. King would say, when the joy isn't there anymore, then we kind of find something else to do. So that's one person. Then another person, they carry on with the work of the Lord. They're going to be faithful in it. They're going to be there. You can depend on them. But is the joy there as they serve the Lord? We're not called to choose which one are we going to do, you know? There in the thrill of it and then gone the next day, or faithful in it and sour while I do it. It's carrying on with joy, taking my duty seriously, but doing so with delight. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of His church. They did not cease, and may we not either. You know, when I was growing up, Christopher Columbus was a national hero. None of us knew much about him, but we knew in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. We were told that, you know. And so we thought, yeah, he discovered the new world, and, you know, that's why we're all here. And, you know, we celebrated that, you know, got it all mixed up in history. But when he sailed across the ocean blue, he actually kept a journal of his sails that you can have a look at translations of it now. And, you know, he had this big vision of where he was going to go and discovering the Americas. Not much was known about it at the time. You know, it's the new world, and he's going to go there, and it's going to be big. And he gets on the ship with the others, and he writes his journal every day. He writes an entry nearly. And you know what's on that journal? Not lots of exciting stuff. Apparently, it takes a long time to get across the Atlantic Ocean. And so when you look at the journal that was written and going to the new world, that place where they were all looking forward to going to and finding out more about into the unknown, the thing that was written the most was things like, we carried on. We sailed on. This is how far we traveled today. It was the mundane, everyday things on the ship. They sailed one bit of the Atlantic at the time. And then finally you get to the exciting journal entries at the end. And so, what should we do over the next few months, or however long it takes us to this next place where God is taking us? Well, here's what we should do. We should sail on, steer the course, and one day at a time, God is going to bring us to exactly where He is calling us, or as Paul said it, 1 Corinthians 15:58, "My beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain.